Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 12 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. John McAteer. John is an assistant professor and chair of the online liberal arts program at Ashford University. He has a BA in film from Biola University, an MA in philosophy of religion and ethics from Talbot School of Theology, and a PhD in philosophy from the University of California at Riverside. On equip.org, the website of the Christian Research Institute, John has written a film review called Almighty Fathers and Only Begotten Sons in Last Days in the Desert, which evaluates the May 2016 art film Last Days in the Desert. In addition, he has written online film reviews at equip.org of Risen and the Young Messiah. John also has a forthcoming Christian Research Journal article on Jesus films. John, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So why do you think Hollywood is making so many Jesus movies right now? I think the last time they made this many was back in the 70s. I remember the Campus Crusade Jesus film and the miniseries Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, it seems to me, you know, looking back at the list of these Jesus movies, they seem to come out about every 10 years. There's a new crop of them. There were several in the 60s, those old big epics like King of Kings and The Greatest Story Ever Told. And then in the 70s, there were those the musicals like Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar, and then the Campus Crusade one you mentioned. Then there was kind of a lull in the 80s with the only one that came out was The Last Temptation of Christ, which, of course, was very controversial. And so it kind of died off a little bit. But it seems like every 10 years there's another one, at least one, that comes out. So it's just a figure. You know, Jesus is this figure in our culture, even for people who are not religious or not Christians. We can't stop thinking about Jesus, and I think that's good for apologists and evangelists to have that idea in the air that there's something special about Jesus, something that we need to take seriously, something that we need to figure out about who he was and why he's so important. So that idea is just there. Another thing that I think is coming out, you know, right now, why there has been, you know, these three this year, is this new emphasis within Hollywood on the evangelical Christian market. There's a lot more films, not just Jesus films, out there, and it, you know, of course, that started with the Passion of the Christ back in 2004, which was kind of a surprise mega hit, a huge movie, largely because you know, Mel Gibson and his people have figured out how to take the film directly to churches and church groups and get you know, grassroots people interested in coming out to see this, kind of bypassing the traditional market, you know, commercials on TV and that kind of thing. That led to, you know, a whole birth of new Christian movies, including kind of independent Christian movies like those made by the Kendricks brothers, you know, Fireproof and all of those kind of movies, were just making a lot of money. So Hollywood is interested into finding anything they can that's going to be supported by that, you know, evangelical market, by, you know, churches and church blogs and Christian websites and people who are going to advertise these and bring their friends.
Is there anything?
So I think go ahead.
I was going to say, is there anything different, though, specifically about these recent Jesus movies compared to, like, the ones you were talking about in the 60s and the 70s and so forth?
Yeah, I think so. Partly because of, you know, the last, well, you know, there's the Passion of the Christ, which was just so, you know, different and just kind of Mel Gibson's own thing. But in terms of, you know, more Hollywood-produced movies, you know, the last one was The Last Temptation of Christ back in the 80s, and that was so controversial that Hollywood is kind of scared of making Jesus movies because they don't want to get accused of blasphemy and protested and that kind of thing. So what's different about these three that have come out this year, The Young Messiah, The Risen, and now the Last Days in the Desert, all three of them are based on stories that are not directly in the Bible. So, Young Messiah is about Jesus as a child, which is a period of time that the Bible doesn't say much about. We just get that, after he's born, there's that one story about Jesus when he's 12 and he goes to the temple, and then again when he's an adult. So there's that whole time period where we don't know what Jesus was doing, and so the Young Messiah kind of imagines what that was like. Risen takes place in the time period when Jesus was dead, those 3 days from the crucifixion to the resurrection. And so, again, we don't know what exactly was going on in that time, and it focuses on, other characters, not the biblical characters. And then the Last Days in the Desert takes place in the 40 days in the desert. Again, we really don't know much about what was going on in those days when Jesus went out to be tempted. We kind of see the three temptations in the Bible, but in terms of like what was going on those 40 days, we don't know. So they focus on those stories in a way, I think, because it's safe. It kind of makes them, they're able to avoid charges of, being unbiblical or contradicting things in the Bible, because they just focus on something that where there's no problem of contradiction, because there's nothing talked about in those stories. Another thing, I think, it makes it seem more fresh and original, right? Because we've all seen a ton of movies about the story of Jesus and his life, and so it can feel like, well, we've seen that before. What can we do that's new? And so they focus on these new stories that are not directly from the Bible.
Yeah, you're mentioning these stories that are filling the gaps between different things that happen in the Bible that's recorded in detail and then some things that we just don't know. So because they're doing that, do you think it's sacrilegious to make up fictional stories about Christ or, filling in, well, what happened when he was young and went to the temple, because it doesn't really say?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough area. It could seem sacrilegious. It might, for me, it would make me a little nervous to try to write a story, about, trying to imagine things about Jesus. On the other hand, I think in a way it's unavoidable. If you think about the difference between film and, writing, when we read the stories in the Bible, even if we tried to make a film that was exactly like what it says in the Bible, we have to fill in a lot of gaps. We know the words that Jesus said, for example, but we don't know how he said it. What was his tone of voice? What was the, the look on his face? How is his body, language? There's lots that we have to fill in and make an interpretation when we're trying to dramatize this for a visual medium like film. So it's kind of unavoidable. And in another sense, I think it's unavoidable for us as believers when we try to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and when we try to think of him as a real person, which is what he is, as opposed to just this sort of character in a book that we read that did things a long time ago. We have to give a more well-rounded picture to him and imagine him as a person. What is he really like? What is his personality? What is his what does he do every day? And to imagine him as a human being that we can relate to, that's actually able to teach us about how to live our lives. We have everyday things. We have to eat. We have to, take a bath. We have to play with our kids. We have to go to work. We have to do all of these things. That it's sometimes, when I watch these older Jesus movies, I find it really hard to imagine that person on the screen. Even the Jesus from the old 70s TV show, Jesus of Nazareth. That person is so kind of otherworldly. It's hard to imagine him doing everyday life things. And these newer movies, I think, are able to help us imagine Jesus as a real human being and also God.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is John McAteer, who has written several film reviews, including Almighty Fathers and Only Begotten Sons in the Last Days of the Desert, which is on equip.org for free that you can read. John also has a forthcoming Christian Research Journal article on Jesus films. To read his upcoming article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We're just talking about various different Jesus films over the decades, and which do you think is the most accurate that you've seen lately? Which Jesus film of the three?
You know, I think probably, I mean, they all try to be accurate in their own way, but I'm not sure that being accurate is the most important thing about a movie in terms of, like, historical and even, you know, biblical accuracy, if we're talking about the literal details of the biblical text. Obviously, we want to be biblically accurate in a bigger sense and theologically accurate. But in terms of, like, getting every word exactly right as to what happened in the Bible, that could be a distraction in some ways to me. You know, I would much rather see a movie where the character of Jesus is accurate, you know, where the person on the screen is somebody that I can imagine would be like Jesus himself, you know, even if they change you know, a few of the words or rearrange some of the events so they happen in a different order or something like that. I mean, one example is, you know, the recent movie, The Young Messiah. Some critics, you know, criticized that movie because they thought it showed Jesus performing a miracle when he was a child. And, you know, in the Gospel of John, it says that his turning water to wine at the wedding of Cana was his first miracle. And so people kind of got upset about that because it seems inaccurate. On the other hand, I think the character of Jesus, that little boy, is so accurate in that movie. That little boy just seems like what I imagine Jesus being like as a child. He's just so godly, so you know, beautiful and attractive as a person. His personality is something I can imagine. And I think, to me, that's what these movies are for. I mean, they're not supposed to replace the Bible and give us all our information about the facts of things. They're supposed to help us imagine Jesus as a person. And so if they can do that, then I think that's what we really want out of a Jesus movie.
So if you're saying that biblical accuracy is not the most important thing in one of these Jesus films, what are the things in a film that makes it a good Jesus movie if it's not necessarily biblically accurate?
Yeah, I mean, so like I said, I think it's the characterization of Jesus. Also, just the cinematic quality, I think. It's not going to be a good Jesus movie if it's not a good movie, you know, regardless of how accurate it is or even how well, they characterize Jesus. You know, it's just got to have a basic level of filmmaking competence. These three recent movies, I think, are all pretty good at that. They're better than a lot of the old independent Christian movies we used to watch growing up. So there's been a lot of progress made there. I think a lot of it depends when we're asking what makes a good movie. It depends on what we're trying to do with the movie, right? You know, what's our purpose in watching it? If our purpose is just to be entertained, then it's going to be good if it's entertaining. But if our purpose is more like, you know, we want to use it for devotional purposes in our relationship with Jesus, or informational purposes and understanding the history of Jesus, you know, something like that, you know, that's going to depend how we interpret and judge the film.
So how can we or should we even be using Jesus movies in our ministry in terms of apologetics? I mean, do showing Jesus movies to people, do these have any apologetic value? What's the benefit for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because like I say, you know, how we approach the film kind of depends on what we're trying to do with the film. And, you know, there are lots of different ways you might use a Jesus movie in ministry. You might use it just as a sermon illustration if you're preaching. Like I said, you might use it in devotion. Like I think the Passion of the Christ is something a lot of people have approached that way, as just, you watch it on Good Friday or something, and you kind of experience that, putting you in that mindset of what Jesus went through and even the theological meaning behind that. In terms of evangelism and apologetics, I think obviously if it's for evangelism purposes, you'd want it to be a little more biblically accurate, because you're trying to introduce people to what Jesus was about and who he was. So that Campus Crusade Jesus movie is a good one for that kind of thing. But in terms of apologetics, I think you might be looking for something a little bit different. For one thing, you're approaching people who are not necessarily trying to learn about Jesus, but they might be a little more hostile in a way that they're not sure what they think about Jesus. They want to have more of an intellectual conversation. Those type of people, it's going to be tough to try to use the film for apologetic purposes. Usually when we approach the historical Jesus in apologetics, we're wanting to kind of prove that the Bible is reliable and that Jesus was a true historical person who existed and did these things. But you can't prove that from a fictional film. No matter how accurate the film is, it's still a movie. Movies don't prove anything about the past, right? You need historical evidence, not something made in 2005 to prove something that happened a long time ago. So in terms of actual historical proof, it's not going to do much. But what films can do for apologetics, I think, is open up a discussion about who Jesus was and what he was about. So in that case, you'd want a film that's a little more open-ended, I think, that doesn't just kind of present facts in a way that it's just sort of like, that's the fact. You want it to raise questions. You want it to be more conversation-based. And so I think movies like Risen and even maybe The Last Days in the Desert are going to be good for that, because they are more open-ended. They present things in ways that can be interpreted more than one way. And so they allow the viewers, even maybe a non-Christian viewer, to approach it and have their own experience, their own interpretation, that then you as an apologist can address and say, well, here's my interpretation. I have a different view on this, and here's why, and what do you think of that? And enter into a real conversation with the seeker that way.
So you mentioned those three films that you reviewed for us on Equip.org, Risen, The Young Messiah, and The Last Days in the Desert. Which one was your favorite of all three of those?
I like them all for different reasons. I think probably the Young Messiah was my least favorite. It just seemed a little more old-fashioned, kind of cheesy. The filmmaking quality wasn't quite as good as the other two. Last Days in the Desert had outstanding filmmaking quality. It was just a beautiful, well-made film. Maybe a little bit slow in times, harder to watch in terms of entertainment value. But I think my favorite was Risen. It was just well-made, fun to watch. It caught my attention because it had this unique story about investigating the resurrection. I hadn't seen anything done that way before. And then it also, it just worked on me at a deeper level in terms of, helping me to think about who Jesus is to me and, my personal relationship with Jesus. When we saw, even after the resurrection, this character continues to, investigate Jesus, even after he knows that he's resurrected, because he's trying to figure out, who is this person that raised from the dead? Why and why should I care? And that's just something that I find a lot more compelling, and I enjoyed watching and thinking about.
So I want to talk for a few minutes about Last Days in the Desert, because I actually did see that film, and wondered what you thought of having the same actor portray both Jesus and Satan. I think I noticed that Satan, when he was portraying Satan, he was in the same clothing, but he was just wearing jewelry. Like, that set it apart from the Jesus character, plus the dialogue as well.
Yeah, and I think, Ewan McGregor was the actor, and he's so good and was able, there were lots of kind of subtle differences. You know, usually I could tell who was speaking, Jesus or the devil, depending on, you know, just his tone of voice and things. So he did a good performance, I think. That could be controversial. I didn't see a lot of controversy in the reviews I read about that. I think, you know, like I said, this movie is more open-ended. It calls for lots of different kinds of interpretations, which is a strength of the movie, I think. But you could interpret that using Jesus and the devil, you having the same actor play them, it could be, you know, a clue that maybe the director is saying that they're really, you know, the same person in a way, that the devil is like a hallucination of Jesus, or maybe another side of his personality, that these are both just different, feelings that Jesus has, and the devil is like his repressed feelings about his father that he can't express. You know, so you could interpret it that way. Which would be interesting, you know, obviously not biblical, but it would open up some conversations. I think you could also interpret it just very literally, like if Jesus is going to, or if the devil is going to come in and tempt Jesus, what better way to mess with Jesus's head than to appear in his own form, you know? So you're looking at this person, he's trying to get Jesus to believe false things about himself, to think that he's not worthy, that God doesn't really love him, and things like that. And so if you're trying to change somebody's belief about themselves and you're appearing in their own mirror image, then that might be effective. So there are different ways of interpreting that, I think.
You know, when I was watching the film, I didn't think that the film portrayed Jesus particularly as divine. But he's also in the film experiencing a season of doubt and alienation from God. I mean, the opening scene after this beautiful cinematography, and that I do agree with you, is well done. You know, he's there and he's asking God, he's praying, like, God, where are you? Is it possible to portray Jesus this way if he is divine, if he's God himself?
I mean, yeah, that's a good question. I think, I struggled with that myself. I think if I wanted to kind of defend the movie, I think I could say, you know, there are scenes in the actual gospel stories in the Bible where, Jesus has these sorts of moments of doubt, like when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying that, you know, God, please don't let this happen to me, yet I'll do your will if this is what you want. Or on the cross when he prays, you know, God, why have you forsaken me? So there are those kinds of moments in the New Testament. But it's pretty much, you know, it seems like a stretch to generalize from that Jesus would be feeling that a lot throughout his life, as opposed to just, you know, there at the end when he's being crucified. On the other hand, I think it does, you know, what the filmmakers were trying to do, I think, is like I say, imagine Jesus as humanity. If you're going to make a film and there's an actual physical person on the screen, you've really got to figure out a way to make that person seem like a human being. And so for a non-Christian especially, the way to make somebody seem real is to make them wrestle with these doubts. So you see this in pretty much every movie made by a non-Christian about Jesus. He's always going through these same sorts of feelings of doubt and things like that. So that, you know, I can understand why they do it that way. You know, a Christian would probably make the movie in a different way. On the other hand, I think the movie does portray Jesus as divine, setting aside, you know, the questions of how he could feel those kind of doubts. Jesus does, you know, in the movie, he has this personal relationship with God. He knows that he's called by God, and he calls himself the only Son of God. He's able to perform miracles, although he chooses not to in the film for various reasons. I think the movie portrays that doesn't really want to question his divinity. Again, maybe because the filmmakers are not Christians, so for them, they're not worried about trying to prove or disprove the biblical story. For them, it's a myth. So they're able to just say, if I'm going to tell a story about Jesus, I might as well just accept the mythology the way it's told and not worry about whether it's true or not. Like if you're going to make a movie about, Perseus, fighting the Minotaur or whatever, Theseus. So you don't have to question whether he's able to do these things, right? So in that sense, I wouldn't worry too much about the divinity question watching the film.
So if they're just accepting Christ's divinity, what does the movie ultimately say about Jesus?
I think the movie is taking Jesus, the Last Days in the Desert, takes Jesus to be an example of a son. So if you're trying to think about the universal relationship between sons and fathers, who's the ultimate father? Well, that would be God. And then who's the ultimate son? Well, that would be Jesus. And so you have this kind of archetypical relationship between fathers and sons that they're trying to play out in the film and have Jesus and his relationship with God. And it's trying to suggest, I think, that sometimes fathers love their sons and have a plan for their lives, but they don't necessarily know how to say it. And you see this in the relationship between the family that Jesus meets in the desert, and there's a father and a son who clearly love each other but don't know how to speak their relationship because this kind of masculine thing. And that idea of God as this kind of silent father, right? Jesus wrestling with the silence of God in the film is sort of a metaphor for sometimes fathers can't speak the love to their child that they have. And then Jesus learning that that God really does love him, even if he doesn't always speak in ways that you can audibly hear a voice, right? If you think about Jesus in the story, going out into the desert, he's just come from his baptism where he heard God say, "You are my son, my beloved," right? So Jesus has that sense, but then, at least in the film, he doesn't hear that voice again for 40 days. And so, what is that silence like? That's like a human child not hearing from his human father. That his father loves him. So that's the kind of things the movie is wrestling with, which raises the question about what does this have to do with us, with Christians? If we're watching the film, we have different questions than the film has, right? And the filmmakers are non-Christians. They're only interested in this father-son thing. So what do we do when we watch the film? I think we can approach it in a different way. It's a strong enough film that it actually allows us to, give it alternate interpretation and maybe to learn to, use it in discussions about Jesus's power to change people's lives. He comes into this family in the desert and he's able to help reconcile the father and the son to each other through largely just through his presence, through his questions that he asks them, his encouragement and compassion that he has for them. And then this changes their relationship. So he does have a positive effect, I think, which would be something we could explore with somebody in a sort of apologetics discussion group is, how exactly did Jesus have an effect on these characters, and what does this say about him for us today?
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for John. So, John, Mexican tacos from an LA food truck or a meal at a 3-star Michelin restaurant in Paris?
Oh, wow. I've done both, so it's hard to say. I think I'm going to have to do the Paris meal. It's hard to beat.
If money was no object, what's your dream vacation?
I think I'm actually hoping in the next few years to do a tour of Italy and go to all of the different, you know, Renaissance cities, you know, Rome and Florence and Venice, and see all the art and architecture. And I think that's a dream of mine.
And what's the last film that you saw that made you feel emotional?
It's a good question. I don't often feel emotional. I just the other night I actually watched Creed, the new Rocky movie, and it was hard not to feel emotional, you know, in the last big fight, and the Rocky music comes in, and the, you know, the young fighter is about to, you know, show that he's actually living up to his father's memory, and I got a little teared up in that scene, I think.
Yeah, that was a good film. What's your favorite film ever?
Oh, good question. I'm kind of a film nerd, and I like kind of boring, you know, old-fashioned movies. So, you know, one of my favorite movies is called the Passion of Joan of Arc, and it's a silent film from the 19-teens that really shows the depth of spirituality and beauty that comes in suffering for Christ's sake, and using Joan of Arc as an example.
Wow, that's very interesting. Thanks, John, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks, it was good to be here.
John McAteer has written a film review on Equip.org called Almighty Fathers and Only Begotten Sons in Last Days of the Desert. He's also written a film review of Risen and the Young Messiah, also available on Equip.org for free to read. He also has a forthcoming Christian Research Journal article on Jesus films. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit Equip.org. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you also go to Equip.org, where you can download our free smartphone app, on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal.